Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and once again, we're talking about getting financially fit and on our way to financial independence. And today I'm going to walk you through, I call it walking through your financial life from getting started at the very beginning to retirement and beyond, like an A to Z on getting your money straight. And we're going to go through, I'm going to give you some case studies of people that, you know, I've worked with and at each age bracket. So they'll kind of, you'll kind of get an idea of what you do with your money to go from start to finish. And, you know, this is 40 years of doing this. And so got a lot of stories that we'll be talking about. We'll get involved and look at the 8 different investment accounts. I call it investment accounts or savings and retirement accounts. Everything from the emergency fund to retirement funds and all the different retirement accounts. We'll talk about using insurance to accumulate money, college funds, opportunity funds. We'll look at some non-retirement funds that can be tax deferred. We'll have funds for income, funds for health care, all that kind of stuff, all the insurance products from protecting your income and protecting your assets. It's really what all insurance is either protecting an income or an asset. And so we're going to do that. And so stick with me today. If you would like help with your money, I would say visit RoyMatlockJr.com and get a phone call with us to start. 30-minute phone call could change your life. And so visit RoyMatlockJr.com if you would like to find out more about how we operate. All right, so you're getting started. We're going to say you're under 40, and maybe you're married or both of you are working. Maybe you have kids, maybe not. Maybe single, whatever it may be, and you're making maybe 80 grand a year household income. You're out there in the world, the big bad world, and you are trying to get ahead. And what are you going to do? Well, we're going to do some things to start with that keep us from losing. All right. And so we're not going to get involved with bad debt. All right. Bad debt is anything that's high interest, number one. Number two, you can't afford it, or same. You know, you can't afford it. Number two, it's high interest, and it's tied to something that goes down in value. All right, so don't make a bad mistake like that, and that would be, you know, financing your lunch. You know, you go to lunch, and you have a credit card balance from the previous months, and the way credit cards start is if you pay it off every month, there's no interest, but if you have a balance at the end of the month, the interest begins at the point of purchase. So, you know, so you go to lunch and you owe $500 on your credit card, and you pull your credit card out because you didn't pay it off last month. And so the waitress comes up and says, hey, I got a question for you. Do you want to pay cash or finance this for the next 30 years? And so that's what happens, because you're paying 21% interest from the point of purchase. If you don't pay it off, you may get yourself in trouble with cars, all those kind of things. You generally, young people, cars and credit cards, that's the stuff that happens. And so we go with getting an emergency fund, get about 3 months set aside, so that way we don't end up having to borrow money and stuff like that. And then we get a budget in place. And so we're starting there. Then we're going to start maxing out our retirement savings. There's going to be 3 types of things that you would purchase when it comes to retirement planning when you're young. The first one is you're going to take advantage of any matching funds that you have at work. So if you're working somewhere and they give you a 401k and they say, hey, if you put in 6, we get 3 bonus. Okay, we'll match you up to 3%, whatever it may be. A lot of times you put in 3 and you get 3. What's going to end up happening is immediately you're getting 100% of your money or 50% on your money, and you get a tax deduction. I generally tell people to take the tax deduction. And the reason is that we can take that deduction and reinvest it. Then we may have a Roth IRA. That would be something we can do. And so that Roth IRA would allow us to get tax-free growth and tax-free withdrawals. And then we have one other product. It's an insurance product that builds up cash value. The benefit of that is it gets tax-free growth. It gets tax-free withdrawals. But you can also access it prior to 59 and a half. And it's something that you can keep the rest of your life. And so you get it when you're young. So we do those kind of things. So we start out, we're going to max out that. We're going to diversify our portfolio. And don't get too tore up about not owning a house yet. A house is fine, but a house is a liability. Generally speaking, people go in and they buy houses they can't afford, and then you're sitting on cardboard boxes and don't have any furniture. And so what you want to do is, yes, a home ownership is something, you know, that makes sense, but don't look at it as an investment. It's more of a place that you own, that you're getting some of the money back. But all you got to do, if you want to know what how much your house is going to cost you, just look at the $500,000 house and put your down payment and take that down payment and then look at what you pay for it by the time you finance it all that time and see what you pay for it, what you project it's going to be worth. It's really just going to get your money back. But I'm not anti-house. I'm just telling you that when you're getting started, that's not necessarily, you know, as important as a lot of people think it is. One day you'll do that. You'll have a goal. Ultimate goal really is to save 25% of your income. And the way you do that is you live on half your money. You then take that money that you're living on, and you've got 50% there. 25% is probably going to be your tax burden, and then another 25% savings. So what ends up happening is now we're cranking that up, and the goal is to get to $100,000 saved as quickly as possible. The good news is if you can do that by the time you're 30, this is the crazy part, and you haven't invested, you may not even have to save any more money to be able to have a decent retirement. So what you're doing is at that moment, you are actually moving your retirement date up. If you can get to 100 grand, so how do you do that? Well, if you're making 80, you live on 40, you save 25,000. Or 20%, that's 20,000 a year for 5 years. You got 100 grand, not including interest. And guess what? You're rocking. All right. And so we're going to take advantage of the Roths, the 401k matches. We're going to make sure that we get it into growth type investments. All right. And when we do those kind of things, we're moving in the right direction. And so if you are young and getting started, here's what I would do. We have plans that you can get rolling for as little as $300 a month. We get you started. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com, and we will be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we're going into our second part of the show right now, walking you through your financial life, getting started all the way to retirement and beyond, the A to Z's of getting financially fit. We talked about you're young, getting started. One of the key elements is we want to live on half of what we make, save 25% of our money, max out our retirement plans, 401k matches, Roth IRAs, have an insurance policy that goes along with that for savings. And then we have an emergency fund. Eliminate the high interest debt, and you know, start aggressively investing in a diversified portfolio. Then from there, we're going to continue. We're going to have life insurance, term life insurance, usually about 10 times your income, maybe a little bit more than that when you're young. You can get it for so cheap. It just blows my mind how cheap. I think I saw a 25-year-old could get a 30-year term in good health for like about $25 a month for $500,000 a term. So there's no reason not to go and get your term insurance set up early on and while you're healthy, and you can lock it in for, you know, some of them are even 40 years. I don't necessarily recommend that. But anyway, you get your term life insurance. A lot of times through work, you'll have access to disability income. You'll have access to your health insurance, health savings plans, things like that. That saves you taxes. And then, you know, your big goal might be to start accumulating money for a down payment on a home, which is a goal. Obviously, you want to get a house, but I would tell you to get your investments rocking early. Don't worry about the house until a little bit later and get that money so it will have time to compound for years and years and years. So that would be what I would do there. And then I would work on my income. And the way you work on your income is you become more valuable. So one of the best things I can tell you, the best advice I could ever give you that I had one job that I worked for one day that I didn't like. And I was like, nah, I ain't doing this. All right. And so I've never had anything from the time I was in college, even in high school, that I dreaded. You know, I had jobs that were above average. I mean, the first thing I did was if I'm going to go look for a job or a career, first thing I'm going to do is, hey, if I'm good at it, how much money am I going to make? And if, you know, it's like no money, then that's automatically, that's the first rule. Why would I get involved in something and sell my time for low pay? All right. So the first thing I want to do is I want to say, hey, can you make a lot of money if you're good at it? And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to find something I like. And then that way it's fun. Once it's fun, it's like a hobby. You put as much time into it as you can. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep growing my income. I can look back in time and from the time I was 16 years old all the way until I think 2000, I would have been 16, would have been 1977. I always worked, and I always made more money every single year. The first time I saw my income go backwards was when the tech crash happened. And that was, you just keep your lifestyle about the same and just raise your income, and guess what happens? You have plenty of money to free up and save. So you want to think that way. And if you are out there right now and you don't make enough money, or you don't like your income or your position that you do, you wake up every day dreading it, you got to change. And, I mean, that's all there is to it. And that's where you have side businesses, you have things like that that can help you. We have a referral partner program that if you would like to learn about finances and be a licensed referral partner with us, it's a great way to get started and do something different. But anyway, so we're always working on our income, and we're maintaining our outgo in such a way that there's a gap with a goal of 25%, and we get ourselves rolling that way. Once we do that, when we're young, we're going to be probably way more invested, more in growth type investments. We're going to be, you know, mostly, you know, just growth type investments. If you're out there looking, I'm not necessarily making a specific recommendation, but if you don't know what to do and you got a 401k, I usually tell people choose the target date. What is a target date? Just take your birth year, add 65 to it. That's a good start if you don't know what to do. All right. And then if you meet with someone that can help you, you can allocate it a little bit different. But that's kind of the way I go about teaching people. We go from there, and key themes to young people, time and consistency. You want to get started fast, early, as soon as possible. We dollar cost average. What that is by putting it in monthly, we take advantage of declining markets by buying more on the market dips. And so dollar cost averaging is you put a level investment in, and when the market goes down, you buy more shares. When the market goes up, you buy less expensive shares. Overall, you get a lower cost per share. You take your Roth IRA, your 401k. You want to start saving early, which allows you to save less. All right. And if you are able to get better returns on your money, that's a great way of getting things going. So now we've taken it through. You're new. You got started. And I'm going to tell you that you are a newbie if you don't have $100,000, all right? So the first thing is if you're, I don't care how old you are, if you don't have $100,000, you need to take just what I told you, all right, from beginning. You're starting, all right? And when I meet with people, what I do and what my advisors do is we look at your situation up to this point in life. So if you're 45 years old and you come in and meet with me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, okay, step number one, why are you here? What's your goal? Why would you come and speak with a financial advisor? What's going on in your life? And they usually come up, well, I feel like I may be behind, all right? Or, you know, I've got this money I have inherited, or I changed jobs, got a 401k, or I got kids and I'm worried about it. I had a guy call me yesterday. He's like, man, he said, I got wiped out during COVID, and now I'm back on my feet. He said, I got to really get it going, and I'm just scared to death because, you know, I had self-employed type income. I need life insurance. I got three young kids. And so we were able to set him up a term insurance policy, and that was the start. And then from there, we're meeting to be able to go and get back on track. And so you may have gotten hit. You know, I got all these people. Everybody comes in. I got a story. Every kind of story. I had a story this morning on a call that guy had $46,000 in interest income last year, just interest from the bank. And I'm like, you got $46,000. I told one of my advisors, I'm like, what's he got, $1 million in there? He said, right out a little over $1 million sitting in the bank. And I was like, wow, all right. What are we going to do about that? And I said, well, hey, here's some ideas. As an older gentleman, maybe we'll throw some money into some tax-deferred type accounts. If he's really conservative, we can get what's called a multi-year annuity that is tax-deferred. But the chances of us eliminating almost all of that tax on money he's not using and still giving him access to it is pretty high, all right, 80%, all right? So why would I throw the IRS $49,000 if I don't have to, all right? So what we're going to do now, we're going to go into the mid-career accumulator. You're 40 to 55 years old. Maybe you're making $120,000 a year household income. You're not killing it, but you're doing okay, and you've got $100,000 saved. So what we're going to do is we're going to accelerate your wealth accumulation. We're going to optimize tax strategies and get you prepared for financial independence. And the key priorities here, we're going to get our savings rate up. We're going to reduce future tax liability through Roth conversions with an idea going forward out in the future. We'll start thinking about that. But right now, we're going to get all our tax savings we can. Later, we may diversify or do some conversions. But the idea is, what is the total tax going to be? And what's the best way of doing it? We're going to get you more diversified across more asset classes. And if you are at that point, you have children, we're going to be looking at some tax-advantaged ways to save for college and your kids. And so when we come back, we're going to talk about a lot of those things and how do we plug them in to your financial plan. If you are listening right now, here's what I would encourage you to do. If you are not working with an advisor, reach out to us, or if you'd like to get a second opinion, we'd love to do a 30-minute phone call with you, give you our 2 cents worth. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com to schedule that. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right. We are continuing to talk money. If you're listening right now, it's kind of an A to Z. If you go back, you can listen to our show at roymatlockjr.com, this show with the on our podcast. And you can find it anywhere. It's the Roy Matlock Jr. Money Business Hour. We first got started with You're Young Getting Started. And I went through some different step-by-steps of what I would tell you to do and how we go about doing it. And the way I operate, we are a financial advisor, fiduciary financial advisor. We have the access to all of the products. So what I do when I meet with people, I say, number one, let's get you educated on money. And I try, the reason I do this radio show more than anything is to keep my clients educated on what's going on when it comes to their money. And then when we're able to talk to each other, we're talking on the same page. Been doing this for a long, long time. My first radio began in 1992, called The Money Game. Dave Ramsey was one of my reps, and we started the radio show in Nashville and eventually nationally syndicated it. And I did that for about 9 years. And so I've been teaching people about money for a long, long time with the intention that if you are given good education and good advice, you can make good decisions. And so there's no hiding out, trying to keep it secret to you. I give you everything on my podcast and on my radio shows that I know. And then we help people with their money. And then we go out to a product marketplace to help you pick and choose the right things for you from the defense, the offense. And the way we go about doing that is we have, I call it like, we're like the Amazon when it comes to money. So we're not tied to any one company or anything like that or any one product. So now you're mid-career, you're starting, you've accumulated some money. So what we want to do is we want to really crank up the retirement savings. We want to make sure that by mid-50s, all right, if you're getting closer, we want to get to at least 500 grand. 500 grand, you know, if you can get to 500 grand within 10 years of retirement, you should be in pretty good shape, bearing some crazy lifestyle. And so what happens is we want to get to 500 as quick as possible. The sooner we're at 500, we get one doubling period. That's 7% over 10 years. We have $1 million. We have Social Security on top of that. So we want to get to a point where we've got a half a million, all right? And to do that, you got to bear down, and you want to take that 100, turn it into 500 as quick as possible, and this gets you a decent retirement. It doesn't get you wealthy, but what it does is it gives you the ability to know, okay, not going to run out of money. By then, you may have your house being paid down, stuff like that. And so we're going to do a few other things. We're going to take advantage of some annuities that have upside, and these will be, a lot of times I'll recommend RILAs or variable annuities. What they do is they give you tax-deferred growth along with upside and some downside protection. You're going to continue to knock out the Roth. You're going to continue to knock out the 401k. And if you're over 50, depending on where you're at, we may have to do a backdoor IRA. But if you're both working, you can put $30,000 a piece in to your retirement plan, get some matching. You got your Roth is $17,000 between two people, cut it in half otherwise. Now what we've done is we've got a bunch of money going into deductions. If we have additional money because we've gone and worked hard, got our income up, we can go into some of these RILAs. We might, if we hadn't already done this, get some indexed life insurance. We're going to maintain the term life insurance for maybe another 15 years, get us out to retirement age. We might set up a equity line of credit. I would do that if you've got some equity in your home because, you know, you're sitting there right now. I see people right now, many times I'll meet and they'll have a home that's, you know, got $300,000 of equity in it. They're working. They don't have a lot of emergency cash. Maybe they got a good retirement plan set up. And the best time to borrow money is when you don't need it. And so you go to the bank and you set you up a equity line of credit. It's in a big emergency fund. So let me give you an example. So let's say you're cruising along. Everything's good. Something happens. And you're in between jobs or you get hurt, something of that nature. You got this house that's got some equity in it. And you're like, I'm going to be going back to work. But in the meantime, I don't have enough cash set aside to really do things. Maybe I've got a small emergency fund and it lasts further. Well, you can't go to the bank and say, hey, by the way, I need to borrow some money, but I don't have a job. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get it in advance of doing that. And then rather than paying a penalty and taxes on retirement plans, I might just I'll have one more safety valve, and that's an equity line of credit. And so we want to do that. I always tell people to do that. Never put yourself in a position to be in a great position and not go and do things that cause you to go backwards. We're going to make sure we have proper liability insurance. We're going to have proper health insurance. You know, we may raise deductibles because we have some money set aside, which will save us premiums, same with home and auto, all those kind of things. But the main thing, we're going to make sure that we protect our income and we're going to protect our assets. Income protection is disability income and life insurance. And asset protection is liability insurance, property insurance, things like that. And so that's the way we set up to where we don't lose and we win. So here's some key themes. If you're mid-career accumulator, first thing is you want to make sure and do at age 50 or more your catch-up contributions on your retirement plans. That means you can put more in your 401k. You can put more in your IRAs after age 50. You want to make sure and be diversified. We're going to have stocks, bonds. We're going to have insurance. We're going to have some cash. So we're not going to be sitting there, you know, near retirement and have everything in the S&P 500 and the potential of a big pullback. We got to look at what risk we really are capable of handling. We want some tax planning strategies, so we may be doing things to prepare us, say, from the time we retire until we're 73. What if we could get tax-free income? You know, maybe a insurance policy that we can pull money from that's tax-free, or maybe a Roth IRA, and then maybe start doing a Roth conversion along the way. Potentially, we would set aside 529 plans for college for your kids, and then we decide, should we pay the house off or not? So here's my overall view on the house. If you've got a low interest rate on your house, so if you are in one, if you're one of these that has 2%, 3%, 4% loans, guys, don't do that. Don't pay that off. That is like, oh, that kills me. It just hurts me to think of people that do that. And they say, well, I want to be debt free. And I say, well, that's fine. You are debt free at a moment's notice. If you've got money setting aside over here, if you can pay it off anytime, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to go pay off your 2% when you could get 4% even at the bank. I see people that have actually paid off 2% and they could have just left it in the bank at 4%, made 2% on it. I mean, just don't do it. Anyway, so that's the my 2 cents on that. We will move in to the final stage in just a second, and that's going to be the you're retired and what are you going to do? And so where are we at? When it comes to money, what you have to do is you have to have a plan. The plan always involves a goal. Step number one is the goal. So where do we need to be? So I'm going to give you something. If you want to write this down, what you can do, you can go to Social Security and get your calculator and find out, put in your birthday, and it's a Social Security calculator, and put in your birthday and how much you've averaged earning, and it's going to say, you're going to get this much money. I'm going to get $3,000 a month, whatever it is. And then you're going to come back and you're going to say, I got $3,000 a month. I need six. That means I'm $3,000 short. That's $40,000 a year. And let's just say for math, we need 15 to 20 times that. We need $600,000 plus our Social Security if we were getting ready to retire today. So now that's our goal. What's the plan? Visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Set up a time for a quick phone call. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we are going into segment four. And in segment four, we have so far, if you are listening in, the whole show, you know that we started with getting started as a young person to a middle age accumulator, and now we're going to go into the final stage, which is retirement. And if you haven't had a chance to listen in, you can go to RoyMatlockJr.com or Apple or Spotify. Just go to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour, and it's on podcast, and I would encourage you to do that to really get educated. And if you would like help with your money, it's as easy as a phone call or a visit to our website, and you can schedule a 30-minute call with one of our advisors. And in this call, we will look at your goals, your plan, give you some ideas, and find out if we're a good fit. So now we're moving into the final stages, all right, of, you know, retirement. And when we do that, what's going to happen is we're going to start planning, all right, for retirement. So when I start looking at retirement planning, I meet with people, and the first thing I do is I say, what is the goal, all right? So we're going to start looking at the goal. And I always try to I meet with a lot of my clients, and the first thing I do is I pull up what is, if they're retired, and I pull up the worst outcome scenario. So what would be the worst outcome scenario? So I'll give you an example. I met with one of my clients, and I told him, I said, look, it's okay. You're fine. You're doing good. If you want to quit, you can quit. What is your worst outcome? And so in their case, they've got about almost right at $1 million. Their house is paid for, and so they're doing good. But, you know, they earn money, and they're thinking about, should I give up, you know, my $90,000 a year income, you know, and so on. And so I said, here's your worst outcome. If you took, at their ages, $1 million, and we put it into a lifetime income guarantee with a fixed indexed annuity. Now, I'm not recommending that someone use a lifetime income with a fixed indexed annuity, but I can tell you that if you bought a lifetime income fixed indexed annuity along with your Social Security, I would say here is your worst outcome. And in the case with what we talked about, they had about $60,000 a year in Social Security, and they could get like $67,000 a year on their fixed indexed annuity guaranteed for the rest of both of their lives. So I'm like, here's where you're at. If you're both alive, you got $127,000 worst case. Something happens to one of you, you're going to lose half the lower end of the Social Security. We're going to take it down to about $95,000, worst case. And you know what they said? That's good. I feel good now. And so we prepared for that. And so what I always do is give people, when they're sitting there, what's your worst outcome? Now, when I start working with people, though, when they're retired, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and build a plan around inflation, taxation, and lifetime income guarantees. I'm going to prepare against risk, which the biggest risk in retirement is outliving your money. That's one of them. And the other one is that you go into an extended stay, nursing home, stuff like that, and it wipes things out. We look at all of the different places that there's money to be had, all right? We look at different ways of having buckets of money in the event that the stock market goes down and it doesn't hurt us. And so we have a lot of different things like that. So let me give you an example. So let's say that you showed up with me and you said, hey, I'm getting ready to retire and I've got $600,000 between all everything I own and I have my house that's paid for. What should you do? So I'm going to start out, I'm going to say, well, let's take a look at what your Social Security is going to be. And we come up and we find out the Social Security between the two of you is going to be about $3,200 a month, and it's broken down $1,200 and $2,000. So now we know in that 1,200 and 2,000, you're sitting at, if something happens to one of you, you lose the 1,200, you keep the 2,000. So the way Social Security works, if you're married, you get to keep after the first spouse, and when someone passes, you get to keep the higher of the two. I have people all the time, they say, when should I draw Social Security? And this is not a blanket statement, but generally speaking, you draw your Social Security at your full Social Security age, usually around 66, 67. Even if you're working, I tell people to draw it most of the time. And then what we do is we save it. And in my calculations, waiting never works. And it's just, I've seen it. If you save it early, then what's going to happen is you're going to accumulate money while you're still working, and it takes about 10 years to catch up by waiting. So my experience is I don't wait, all right? That's been my recommendation for many years. But anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to take that 600, and we might divide it into two or three areas. We might take a portion of it and put it into some type of annuity that gives you a lifetime income guarantee. Now, why do you do that? Because the way insurance companies work is this. They can give you a higher payout and guarantee it for life than you can get if you take any risk. All right. So the risk of a running out of money right now is about 3.7%. So if you have a stock bond portfolio and over a 30-year period, the matrix says it's about 3.7%. will guarantee you don't have poor sequencing of returns. What that means is you're one of those that just happens to be unlucky. The moment you retire, you got all your money sticking in the market, and the market drops 30%, and you're pulling on it. And then you put yourself in a position where you could run out of money. So what we do is we generally will take and match up your Social Security along with something that gives you a guaranteed income. That knocks out two things. One, it takes the risk out of the stock market. It also takes the risk of longevity out. All right. So now you don't live too long. So, you know, great news. My mother's going to be 102 in August. And so even better news is she didn't run out of money at 80. All right. And I always make the joke, you know why? Because she has the best financial advisor out there, me. And so anyhow, but that's the way that works. And so what happens is we take a portion of it to where you never run out of money. Got your Social Security, never run out of money. We then take probably 2/3 of it, and we put it in things that can have some growth in the future. And what that means is we're going to have a portion in the stock market, a portion in the bond market. We may have a portion into some type of annuity that has long-term care benefits tied to it, and we can look at that as a potential. And so when you're looking at the reasoning for that is that allows us to have inflation protection, because 20 years from now, you can figure it's going to be about 1.7 times what it takes to live is if you go back historically with inflation. So if you need, you know, 1,000 today, you're going to need 1,700 in 20 years based on typical inflation. And so right now we're in high inflation areas. So what we want to do is we want to then have a plan. We have a budget. A lot of times I'll tell people that we'll bring out your Social Security. It'll hit this time of the month. We'll bring out your lifetime income guarantee or whatever it is. We'll bring it out to where it's as close to what you're used to when you're working. So you don't have just one big chunk and you have to manage all month. But we do a retirement budget, and we have all of this kind of stuff set up in an automated fashion. What I mean by automated, it's put in your bank account every month. Later down the line, long-term, inflation kicks in. You've got some money that's got some growth opportunities to it. And the whole idea is by having buckets of money, you never end up needing money from places that it's not the best time to pull from. And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll tell people, look, if we have a bad year in the stock market, we'll pull from a bond fund. If we have a good year in the stock market, we might top off some of the money that's there. But the long and short of it is it's a plan. We look to try to find ways to cut your taxes. And the way we do that is we might, early in retirement, you're drawing Social Security. We might pull from the Roth IRAs that you have. We might pull from life insurance policies that you can get tax-free income. Now, even though you have cash flow, you don't have taxation. And if you don't have taxable income, then we might potentially keep your Social Security from getting taxed. So now we're looking at all these little things. We're just thinking through it, and we're like, all right, what are we going to do? How do we not pay taxes? How do we get our cash flow? And then along the way, some of those RMDs that will be hitting by 73, we slowly maybe convert some of that when you're at a very low tax bracket to Roths, and we do that. Or maybe we redeem some accounts, say, that are sitting there that are taxable, but we're just redeeming a lot of the principal in order to keep everything moving along with the idea of why do we want to give the IRS money that we don't have to, all right? You know, I was talking earlier in the show about, you know, $49,000 or something like that. It was what it was in taxable income, interest income, and I can eliminate basically almost all of it. So why would we want to do that? Some other options that allow you to do things we look at if you are retired and you don't have that much money, but you got some equity in your house. Had a lady not too long ago that we met with, and house is paid for but is not prepared for retirement. We recommended downsizing the house, and by downsizing the house, a $600,000 house becomes a $300,000 condo. Right off the bat, that frees $300,000 up, and then we take into a reverse mortgage, and the way that works is a reverse mortgage allows you to be in the house without a payment, so then maybe put $150,000 down on the condo and have no payment. So let's take a look at that situation. Had a $600,000 house and didn't have retirement income, but now you got a $300,000 house and you got $450,000 left over that you can invest. We put that into something and that'll generate $2,500 a month or something like that in income. And so we do things like that with the intention that we're going to build a financial plan. So today, if you're tuning in, we went from A to Z. First section was young. We went through young, middle, and retiree, and that's what we do. So if you are in need of a financial advisor or would like just a second opinion, we will do these exact things for you. We then go to a product marketplace. We look for things that fit you at your stage in life. And once we do that, we do follow-ups and continually revamp and review and keep you on track. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. Visit roymatlockjr.com. I'm going to give you a couple ideas. First thing is fill out the budget form to get the budget form so you're on track that way. And then look at the podcast. Get educated. Give us a call. Thanks for listening.